Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, good afternoon. This is Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. And this week we're talking about sexual health in women. So sex is a topic widely talked about, joked about, but how many times do we truly deal with emotions that come with it? Those deep-seated emotions that we tend to shove down within us and don't talk about them. But they do affect our health and our relationships. There's so much fear around having those deeply personal discussions because fear of rejection, fear of intimacy, fear of telling the truth, and just downright shame about our bodies. Or perhaps we're having physical issues that affect our sexuality and we don't know what to do about them and afraid to talk about them. The emotions around that affect our ability to seek out help. So my guest today is Keisha Ewers, and she is going to share with us her expertise on this topic, how emotions affect women's sexuality. Keisha is a certified advanced registered nurse practitioner with a specialty in primary care and family practice. She has a master's degree in Ayurveda, extensive functional medicine education, and has traveled the world studying indigenous ways of healing. She is an herbalist, Reiki master, trained shaman, angel therapist, a certified sexologist, yoga teacher, and also the host of Healthy You, the radio program, which is on www.healthyyouradio.com. And Keisha has been in the medical field for over 27 years, and after being diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, an incurable disease according to Western medicine, she began exploring alternative modalities, which led her to Ayurvedic medicine and a complete cure. Keisha's commitment to empowering individuals to heal themselves has made Fern Life Center, her clinic in Issaquah, Washington, a resounding success. It is one of the first of its kind, a fully staffed nurse practitioner-run Ayurvedic primary care practice and Pancha Karma Center. This innovative clinic, with its emphasis on integrated medicine, meditation, and self-awareness, is an outgrowth of her lifelong dedication to the expansion of consciousness and the development of human potential. So welcome, Keisha, to Women, Voices of Women.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. It's wonderful to be on your show again with you.
Yeah, well, current research shows emotional pain can impact a woman's health on many levels, including physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And so today, we're talking with you about the impact our emotions have on sexuality. So you've been working in health for many years now, and I'm sure you've seen many patterns with the people you see, particularly women. What got you interested in studying this? And
you know, I have an integrative medical clinic, as you said, and I have had over the years just hundreds of women come in and sit down in my office and say, my libido's gone to Tahiti and left me behind, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And, you know, what they read in women's magazines and hear from their friends is stuff like, oh, testosterone helped me so much, or bioidentical hormone cream, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. When they go in to see their physician or their medical provider for those 10-minute appointments, many times what they get is a prescription for an antidepressant, and actually for the serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are the most commonly prescribed antidepressant, the number one side effect is low libido. So it just doesn't make any sense. And so I'd have women kind of washing up on the shores of, you know, at my clinic here, and they'd be frustrated, obviously. And, you know, if you don't have sex for a while, what happens is you wind up, especially if you're heading towards menopause and beyond, you wind up, if you don't use it, you lose it. You get vaginal dryness, and you start having your vaginal walls kind of cave in, and then sex becomes very painful. And so as I would ask women, you know, first of all, when's the last time you had good sex? When's the last time you enjoyed it? A lot of times they would say, I never have. That's one option that I hear a lot. But I hear that I'm supposed to, right? Or they would say things like, you know, if I start saying, are there stressors in your life? They'd say, well, you know, my husband lost his job, or we had to foreclose on our house. We're in this really tough socioeconomic time right now in our country, and people are stressed. And so another one that came up a lot is, I don't really like my partner. And so if you don't like your partner, you're not going to have good libido. And it doesn't matter how many hormones I give you or anything else that we do, that's never going to change until we change that other aspect. So that's what got me interested. I thought, you know what? Let me just start looking at the research and what does it show? And it turns out that very little. There's not enough being done for women in this region of medicine. And so I decided that I wanted to go back to school and really lend a voice to the women that I am hearing in my office day in and day out for this, that are not getting help very well. So that's a long answer to that question.
So in talking to them with that, well, I'm thinking of Louise Hay, you know, long, long time ago, she had that book of linking emotions and your feelings to physical parts of your body or physical illnesses.
Yeah. Feel your life.
Yeah. So how do you see those links? Do you do a similar kind of work?
Absolutely.
Or
in fact, I have her little book in my office and I'll say, so, wow, your hip hurts. Do you feel that you don't have support in your life, you know, or you keep getting urinary tract infections? That usually means you're pissed off, you know. So I do use that in a lot. One of the things that I find with women and Louise Hay's work with emotions is that as girls, we've been taught to be caregivers and to always accommodate. And not everybody has that story, but a lot of women do. We're the nurturers, right, inside of the tribe. And so a lot of times women have not even been in touch with their own bodies. They don't even know that their body's trying to speak to them because they're so busy scanning everybody outside of them that they don't even actually know how to ask for their needs to be met sexually. So they get frustrated because they want someone to read their mind. That's another big thing. Or they're just plain old fatigued. And that's another part with Louise Hay's work. You know, if you are so busy taking care of everybody else's needs, you're bringing home the bacon, you're frying it up in a pan, and you have to look hot and get into bed at night with lots and lots of zest and energy, that doesn't work so well if you don't feel like your little well is getting filled up with water too. And so Louise talks a lot about that, you know, being emotionally healthy and loving yourself and those positive affirmations. And I agree 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you start, so you work with them then with their feelings, their emotions, and draw them out. And do you see what results do you see?
Well, I do several different modalities here, actually, that I've been certified in my continual search for answers and how to unlock, you know, these questions for people when it comes to imbalance and illness. And one of the things I do is heart-centered clinical hypnotherapy. Now, that's a long word, you know, a long term, but what it's doing is it's looking at what are the root causes or the scripting that you created in your childhood that's maybe making it impossible for you to see that you can't speak your needs, or if you've been sexually abused as a child, it's undoing the script that says every single sexual encounter is unsafe. See, there's so many different pieces in here. If a woman is overweight, a lot, you know, sometimes that will be a script in and of itself that says nobody will like me, nobody wants me because I've always been overweight. And that's going to be something that they decided in childhood that's carrying into adulthood. So clinical hypnotherapy is one of the things that I do to go in, figure out what the child said, the little girl, and then give the woman an opportunity to rewrite her story and say, you know what, that's not working for you anymore. Should we change it? And, you know, everyone always says yes. And so we go about reframing the script. So that's one thing. Another thing I do is Enneagram work, really looking at what is the strategy that you created when you were a child, again, for getting love. So if your Enneagram type or the way that you're going about getting your needs met doesn't match the one that your partner has, it's like one speaking Chinese and the other speaking Greek, and you're not communicating well. And to me, good sex starts with good communication. So I teach my clients how to communicate well, how to express and get in touch with their feelings. Another one is a forgiveness work that I do. And so all of these things actually, and then there are a lot of sex therapy types of exercises and things that we do that have to do with emotions too. But it really boils down to getting in touch with what your voice in your head is saying, what your subconscious is saying, and getting them all to come together to the table, you know, and saying, is this really working? And making a new plan.
Well, it sounds like you really have some tools there for the people to work with. I'm wondering how, well, let's see, what's my question? I mean, and I know that, that inner work of looking at your childhood and what the script is and how important that is to get to sometimes the root causes. Sometimes we don't know. We're so busy. Everybody's so overwhelmed and busy that we don't even take the time to go in and find out where these feelings or even identify the feelings.
I found that a lot of times in your conscious mind, no matter how much talk therapy you've had, a lot of people say, well, I've done therapy around that. And I'll say, okay, well, but you're still having trouble with it, clearly, right? And they say, yeah, that's because it didn't work. Well, the statistics show that talk therapy over a 2-year period can be up to 35% effective. That's not a very good statistic. Cognitive behavioral therapy has shown that 20 sessions over, you know, a 20-session period can be 68% effective. But hypnotherapy, clinical, heart-centered clinical hypnotherapy actually has data that says 98% effective within 6 sessions. Well, that, to me, was the clear choice of why I decided to go into what I did and learn it, is because, wow, you really get into the places in your mind that you're not accessing in your upright, very busy life, as you just noted. You know, taking the time is one thing, but then just using your logical mind, sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees, you know, when you're on the inside looking out. So it's big, deep work. This, I think it's a lifetime journey, actually.
Well, it is. And that, I love hearing those statistics, because I totally agree that, you know, talk therapy, it only gets you so far. I did that in the 70s, and it's a good way to start, but it only takes you so far. And I find the getting more into kind of a spiritual,
right,
transformational type work that where you goes deeper and has more lasting effect on that. So I was interested to hear the hypnotherapy and your percentage rate in that. And so I encourage people out there who are listening to maybe seek out a good hypnotherapist, and the key is finding a good one too.
Right. There's a great place in Issaquah, Washington. It's called the Wellness Institute. And if you go on their website, so it's Wellness Institute, you can go in a search engine, put that in. I don't know their website off the top of my head, but Diane Zimbaroff and her husband David have really spent their whole lives doing this, and they're amazing teachers. And so anyone that they've taught and certified, they have to go through a 2-year internship. It's very rigorous.
Oh, okay. That's great. Well, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, I would look for that, because there are people all over the world trained by
them. Oh, that's great. Okay. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainas. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Keisha Ewers. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter King has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463, or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Rise and shine, sister of light. Spirit of woman, rise and shine.
So welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and you just heard the song Woman of Wisdom by Lorraine Bays, and that's our theme song. It includes a lot of the themes over the years at our Woman of Wisdom Conference, and we're getting excited. Our 20th conference is coming up February 16th through the 20th, and we're going to have Jean Houston, who's going to be my guest next week, so I'm very excited about that. So we're talking with Keisha Ewers, I was saying it wrong before, about her, she's actually doing a study in her doctoral studies on sexuality with women and about their sexual desires. So you were telling me before at the break that there are new studies that are looking at female sexual desire as being very different than male desire. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so I think most people are familiar with the research that was kind of groundbreaking and pivotal in 1950, starting with the Kinsey reports and then Masters and Johnson. And Masters and Johnson were able to look at, you know, thousands of, really over 10,000 sexual acts in a laboratory and do research on this, which nobody, of course, would get away with these days. But what they got out of that was a ton of data that really sort of exploded what we now call the sexual revolution. The birth control pill was invented at that time, so it seemed like women were then free, right? Well, what we've seen in the ensuing decades since then is that that's not really true. What happened is Masters and Johnson and the Kinsey reports got people talking about sex more. So it came out of the, you know, hush hush area into people talking about it on the radio like we are right now. However, it didn't really change the way that women were experiencing sex, because when Masters and Johnson did their research, they came up with an arousal sexuality scale that's very linear. You go from point A to point B to point C, you have an orgasm, you're done, there's resolution, go to sleep, you know. And so that's a very male model. And it's very obvious what's going on. There's like, you know, they either have an erection or they don't, and it's very linear. Now, later, Rosemary Basson, who's up in Vancouver, Washington, actually did in this last decade some research on human sexual desire for women, and found that actually most women resonate more with a circular model, a theory that has emotional intimacy as part of it. And see, emotional intimacy and desire were actually not part of the Masters and Johnson scale. And so when you think about that, this actually has been the sexual revolution for women is in our last 10 years. And so what I'm looking at, you know, we've come very, very, very far, but still in the medical research, what we're seeing is that the implementation or the interventions that are being used for women with low sexual desire, we're ignoring a lot of things like spirituality. You know, a lot of women, their primary motive for sex is connection. Well, we know now that men, when they are aroused and sexually, that they tend to connect with their partner more through sex, where women, it tends to be they want connection, emotional intimacy, and then they have sex. So we have this kind of different way that we approach things, right? So a lot of the research is now starting to reflect that. But still the emotional, the number one cause as of this year for women's low sexual desire is starting to show up as automatic negative thoughts. I call them ants. So the ants come in and spoil your picnic. And it's the kind of stuff that women will laugh about and joke about all the time. You know, they're having sex and they're thinking about what they have to do next or what tomorrow is like and their to-do list and, oh, I didn't buy the toilet paper or I didn't, you know, their minds will wander or they just don't have erotic thoughts during their day. They're not fantasizing. So these are sort of the barriers to great sexuality, you know, sexual desire that we're seeing now in the research. And I think women have been talking about for a very long time. And another one is that a lot of times women don't have the desire when they first begin sexual engagement, but they have the desire after they get aroused. So it's a little different than men. They have desire than arousal. A lot of times women think, oh, all right, I can get into this. Then they get desire after they're getting aroused. So it's not linear. It's very circular.
Well, that makes so much sense. And it's totally, you know, it's what Woman Wisdom and the work I do. It's women's way is circular. And
that's
so,
right.
Of course, that would fit with sexuality too. And the male.
Why do we think it's separate? You're right. At women's leadership, everything is circular for women and not linear. So, exactly.
So how do we deal with this? You know, and how do you get rid of those automatic negative thoughts that, spoil your picnic. You tell the ants to walk away, just leave, you know, because then that's another thought, you know, that's another mind wander.
Well, actually, this is where mindfulness comes in. So, you know, it's bringing yourself back. And that's why, you know, at the clinic here, we teach a lot of different mindfulness practices, meditation and things like this, because this is the important stuff to get us back to, you know, how often do we find ourselves doing driving and we don't even know how we got where we are, you know, or doing the dishes or on our email and, you know, it doesn't even matter. Our minds can be doing, women are known for being great multitaskers. So we can have a baby on one hip, cooking on another and reading a book on, you know, at the same time. And so that doesn't serve us well when it comes to sexual encounters with being completely and totally engaged with another person. So it's about bringing yourself to that awareness, first of all. How often do you find yourself multitasking during your day? How often do you find yourself not present? Maybe you're taking your child to a soccer game or you're picking them up from school and they're chattering away and one mind, part of your mind is kind of answering, no. And then the other half of your mind's thinking, what am I making for dinner tonight? Oh, shoot, I forgot to take out that fish. Darn it, I should have stopped at the store and gotten the asparagus. You know, that's the way we are. Well, that's good sex, right?
Yeah, those things do come up because we do.
Yeah, right. And so it's about bringing yourself back to awareness, back to your breath, back to, I really look at sexuality as spirituality. Tina Ogden is one of my mentors, my primary mentor, as a matter of fact, and she's amazing, and she's the one that did the groundbreaking work with integrating spirituality with sexuality, the ISIS study, and she wrote The Return of Desire, Return to Desire, and that, you know, that book right there brings it all home. It's the same stuff we get called out on all the time when our minds aren't present there, we're not present with ourselves, right? It's bringing ourselves present with ourselves. And so a lot of times women look at sexuality as a very spiritual connection with a partner. and becoming aware of that and honoring it. And, you know, my husband and I teach tantra relationship classes, and that's one of the things that I say is that this is part of a spiritual path. So you don't want to do just a quickie or, you know, that's not satisfying and fulfilling for most women, right? So.
Yes, and in the last segment you were talking about women having trouble talking and expressing what they like and getting in touch with, and then how to express that, because we're not taught how to talk about that. So how do you deal with that?
So there's a sort of alarming research study that was done that showed that if girls after puberty and when they're starting to get sexually interested have not been given permission basically to masturbate and figure out their own bodies, then there's this alarming statistic that after, you know, their mid-20s, when they're in partnered sex later and earlier than that, that they actually have a very low percentile of having orgasms, because they actually don't know, like the muscle memory has not been laid down. They don't even know how to get themselves there. So this comes down to every single thing that we already know philosophically, spiritually, emotionally, is know thyself. And so it doesn't mean it's a lost cause, but it does mean, and that's part of what we teach in our relationship class, learning how to communicate. Because what does it say about you if you say something that you would desire and then your partner says, oh, I don't want to do that? Well, that feels like rejection. And so it's learning how to deal with all of the components of this, because this is when you're the most vulnerable, when you're sexually active with a partner. A committed relationship, a non-committed relationship, doesn't matter. You're vulnerable when you're having sexual engagement with somebody. And so this is that time where people a lot of times have fear about making themselves vulnerable because of what if. What if they get rejected? What if they don't get accepted? What if somebody thinks they're freaky because of what they like? And so it's learning how to become comfortable with yourself and self-validating, not expecting you to be validated by something outside of you, someone outside of you, because nobody can validate you the way you can. And so this becomes a tool for growth. Sex is an amazing tool for self-growth, growing yourself up.
Yeah, learning who you are and learning how to, we'll talk about it. And you have to feel safe in that, being able to talk. Like you say, you're so vulnerable. And the fear of rejection is huge. And yet there's sometimes you might be in a relationship, where you just don't feel able to do something that your partner wants. And how do you deal with that? So, well, we're going to talk about this when we come back. We're going to take a quick break now and we'll come back and talk more with Keisha Ewers.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low-cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking with Keisha Ewers, and we're talking about emotions and how they affect our sexuality. And Keisha, this is such a intricate, you know, and complex topic, and there's just so much involved, and also what gets involved is our hormones. So how do you talk to us about the role of our hormones and how they work in our body that affect, well, not only our moods and weight and overall health, they affect our sexuality.
Right. And it's so interesting because you cannot separate any of this stuff apart. And that's why hormones have been one of the go-tos for a lot of healthcare providers, because clearly, you know, it's a sexuality or sex itself is the reproductive system. It's the biological drive to reproduce. So there it is. It's ovarian. But the thing of it is the ovaries aren't separate from the adrenals, which aren't separate from the thyroid, which isn't separate from the pancreas, which aren't separate from your neurotransmitters. And so the whole endocrine system, which the parts I just described, work together. And if one part, like a lot of times what will happen, is we live in a very fast-paced, very stressful time right now, is that women will be multitasking. They're working, they're taking care of the house, they're taking care of the kids. A lot of single mothers out there worrying about lots of things, maybe some traumatic childhood things. And their adrenals will get, you know, overstimulated over time, and eventually it will go from too much cortisol in the system to your gas tank is empty. And if that happens, then the ovaries start to kick in, because progesterone is actually manufactured in the ovaries and in the adrenals, and so they can, it tries to, we call it the pregnenolone steal. Your adrenals start to steal from your ovaries. Well, if this happens, then you go into menopause earlier, or you have really terrible PMS, because you wind up what we call estrogen dominant. And, you know, your body feels this emergency is always happening. Your sympathetic nervous system is being triggered a lot. I talked about muscle memory in the last segment. You know, you kind of have this feeling in your body of stress. Your brain says, oh no, we're under attack again. And it's a little like a zebra being chased by a lion on the savannah. In that case, the body says, wow, it's not safe to stop and have a baby right now. I've got a lion on my heels. I got to run. So you've got, you know, the cortisol flushing the system so that you can either have enough energy to fight the lion off or run away from the lion. And in this case, the body says no reproduction. Thank you very much. So your sex hormones go down. And so the body, when it starts to learn that this is the way we are now, you kind of get in this repetitive cycle. Then the thyroid starts to shut everybody down, says, look, we're not playing together well in the sandbox here. You get hypothyroid. You know, your neurotransmitters are going nuts. Your excitatory neurotransmitters are up. Your inhibitory ones can forget how to put the brakes on. And so you're winding up with anxiety. You can't sleep. All this stuff. People gain weight. And so in the middle of that, sex and the interest for it goes down. You know, and not only does the body say, we're not doing this because it's not safe to reproduce right now, but you don't feel like it because you're in this emergency kind of scene. So part of the job that it is for the medical provider is to take a look at that whole system, not just give someone hormones. You really want to take a look at the adrenals, the thyroid, the neurotransmitters. We do neuroendocrine testing at our clinic where we're looking at all of it and start to fix each one of those pieces so that they start to work together as a system again. The body really craves homeostasis. It wants to be balanced, and it will try its darndest to do that, robbing from Peter to pay Paul over and over again until finally it can't do anything for you anymore, and you're tired. So then you lose.
But not only tired, you're probably going to come down with some possible illnesses.
Yeah, well, that's the end result of that. Yeah, you start to, your whole immune system goes haywire. You get autoimmune diseases. That's actually how I woke up to all this. I got an autoimmune disease. And, you know, I waited. We're not taught in our culture to understand the language of imbalance. And so we're taught in our culture to understand symptoms and disease processes. So I had to get to a full-on disease process because I worked so hard and moved so quickly. I was a marathon runner, and I did a lot of intensive care. I'm kind of a high adrenaline junkie kind of person, have four kids. And so I got really sick before I started to sit back on my heels and say, okay, wait a minute, what's the universe telling me here? And it's pretty obvious. Sit down, be quiet, and learn to know yourself, you know? And so once I started understanding that the fuel I was putting in my body wasn't really working for my particular body, and I was a pretty healthy eater, I thought, you know, I had to learn that I had gluten sensitivities and a casein or milk allergy, and started to change my diet around, learned how to meditate, discovered my spiritual journey, and, you know, came into my purpose of life, and my rheumatoid arthritis went away within about a year. So, you know, it's not really that hard. It's very simple. We talk about it as a very complicated, very complex system. But really, when it boils right down to it, it's the stuff that you're told day in and day out. It's just doing it.
Yeah, that's true. And taking the time, it's that mindfulness, gets back to that mindfulness.
That's
right. And, you know, and we're told, oh, we multitask. And women, we know we multitask. But actually now I'm hearing more like, hey, it may not be a strength to multitask.
That's right.
I'm finding myself.
Yeah,
I'm telling myself more because I'm overwhelmed when I get into multitasking, because I could do 10 things at once and I'm going, it just puts me in a weird place, and I kind of go, okay, just focus. Focus on one thing. Don't worry about what I have to get done by Monday. Do what I need to do today, and everything falls into place. And so actually, maybe I'm going to become a recovering multitasker.
A lot of women out there that need to learn that. And, you know, I'm one of them. I now can get really focused on one thing at a time and keep the rest of the world, you know, on hold the way it should be when I'm with someone, with something, with myself. But that was a journey from, that probably took 10 years from my 30s into my 40s, you know, and I think that women of wisdom usually are a little further down the timeline, the ones at the beginning, for good reason. We have the matriarch, we have the matron, because we're learning this stuff as we go. So I think that our bodies are just one part of the teaching, but we need to learn to listen to it.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing, when we get so busy, we don't listen. We're not taught how to listen to our bodies. But you mentioned
right.
Woman wisdom. It is a place, yeah, many of us already are on that journey, but many people show up who are new to it, and we're holding that space for them so they can just jump right in and learn from us. I think that whole mentoring thing is very important. As we have healed ourselves, we're helping others. Well, I want to go back to you because you mentioned the thyroid, and I read recently, and I know I'm on a low dosage thyroid because with my naturopath, I've discovered that my thyroid was a little low, and I read that it's a problem for many, many women, particularly in menopause, mm-hmm. that the thyroid is low. And
the thyroid is the flip side of the same coin that contains the adrenals. One's heads and one's tails. And so if you've run on, you know, gas fumes for a long time, your thyroid will start to fail. If your adrenals have been overtaxed, and so that's part of the robbing Peter to pay Paul piece that I was talking about earlier. Sugar, processed food, and gluten go hand in glove with low thyroid too, as well as the stress component. So we have ramped up our intake of those kinds of foods over the last 5 decades in this country to the point that it's just normal now, you know, where even when I was a kid, I'm 46 years old, and when I was a kid, it was a rare treat to pull something out of a bag or to go to a restaurant. Now it's just, you know, kids bring stuff out of bags for their lunches, or the school lunch comes out of a box, you know, and it's just normal. And that has taken a huge toll on our bodies, huge toll. And the thyroid gets hit really badly.
Yeah, our eating habits. And yeah, because I was brought up too. We got Coke maybe once a week, if that. Chips weren't in the house. We got even our favorite, you know, like Rice Krispies was a treat you didn't have regularly. And so just, right. we didn't grow up with all that. I can remember 2 times going out to dinner with my family as a kid. So yeah, it's very different now. And if you look at, you know, they talk about the weight issue that the children have now, and it's obvious.
There's high fructose corn syrup and everything, and the thyroid doesn't like that.
Yeah,
and so many women have low thyroid, and they have to start looking to the fuel they're putting in their bodies and their stress levels. So high fructose corn syrup is just everywhere. It's in everything processed. You cannot tolerate it. Your body can't.
Right. So it's important to look at your processed foods and cook food, cook real food. You know, I have this saying that what did your grandparents call organic food? And the answer is food.
Right, exactly. There wasn't a distinction or differentiation. We have so many distinctions now. Now we've got genetically modified, you know, we have no longitudinal outcome studies as to how we're doing, except what we are seeing, you know, with genetically modified foods, what we are seeing is that we have an increase. If you were to think of a graph, the red line is going just up, 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 up. And incidence of autoimmunity, cancers, autism, you know, and autistic kids actually across the board have got casein and gluten allergies. And we have more and more autistic kids being born right now. And gut health is the root of all of this. And so we've got to look to our diet. And it's just not, there's no one really ringing the bells and whistles from the mountaintop to tell everybody to pay attention. And so it really is important that we take control at a grassroots level individually and say, no, I'm just going to eat whole foods. This is what's good for me.
Yeah, because it's one thing we can't control. We can't always control the chemicals that are in our environment or other factors that affect our health, but we can control the food we put in. So this is Chris Stainis. We're talking to Keisha Ewers. We'll come right back after we have this break. We'll talk more with Keisha.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, brdarvish.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Danis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking to Keisha Ewers. We've been talking about our sexual health and also about our libido. So, Keisha, I know you also work in the area of around this about forgiveness, thinking about forgiveness as a possible intervention for low libido. So can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because there's so much research on forgiveness anymore, and I'm the first person to pull it into sexuality. So this is really pioneering work, the study that I'm doing right now that we're going to talk about in a minute. And I've used forgiveness for a long time as an intervention for different imbalances and illnesses with people. But if you think about it for sexuality, the first part of why, you know you need to forgive something, and it's not that you're forgiving an action, you're forgiving a person, okay? You know, you can distinctly, you know, and you also don't have to reconcile with a person. So you're only forgiving inside of yourself. You don't necessarily have to go out and find your stalker or, you know, anybody that you need a boundary and you're not supposed to see again. You're wise about this. So the first step is learning to see where you've taken things personally. So for example, if a woman, I have a lot of couples in my practice, and if a woman says, well, I keep telling him that I want him to empty the garbage on Thursday nights because the garbage truck comes on Friday morning and he won't do it and our garbage piles up and I'm getting frustrated, right? Well, if what she's saying about that is if he listened to me, it would mean he loves me. Therefore, if he's not doing what I've asked him to do repeatedly, then that must mean he doesn't love me. So she's taking it personally now. Whereas for him, he's just distracted. He can't remember. He's got other things going on. It's not even a personal affront to her. Now she's telling a grievance story about it. She's saying, oh, he doesn't love me. He won't listen to me. And here are all kinds of examples I can now pull out to show why he doesn't love me. Do you see that? This happens all the time with people, especially women. And so forgiving is really about starting to say, where have I taken offense, right? And learning to not take it personally. There's pretty much nothing, even, you know, sexual assault and terrible things that happen in life really aren't about you. It's about the other person and their stuff, you know, about their own power things, their own hurts, their own pains, their own wounds that they've had as children that they're now acting out in certain ways that are you're taking personally. And so it's learning how to not take offense. And to be mindful that there's another person in the equation here that has their own stuff going on. And it probably isn't even about you. So now you can start seeing them as a mirror of you and say, okay, so I do a practice with people and I'll tell them, find the personality characteristic that's driving you crazy about the person that you have to forgive. I usually say we're all just like Hitler. And so you haven't taken over countries and you haven't killed people, but what is it about Hitler that you don't like? And some people say, well, he was angry or he was intolerant or There are so many adjectives you could use. And I'll say, okay, so now look in your life about how, where you're angry and where you're intolerant. And they go, oh, because you'll find it. Every human has the same exact personality characteristics. They just manifest them in different ways. It's called the ego. So then you find the place where you're just like the other, and now it's very hard to judge them. Now what's happened is they've become your teacher. So you can say, okay, so now I see how I do this, and now I can get rid of it. What this person did was shed light into my own shadow. Now I may not want to have them in my life anymore if they've done something heinous, but what I can do is I can have them be the teacher they were meant to be for me, learn my lesson through it, and move on. Now you're free of the bitterness and resentment. Mark Twain said, not forgiving another person is like you taking poison and expecting the other guy to die. And this affects your sexual desire. And so.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. And so the study that I'm doing right now is to put that together and allow that, you know, that voice to be seen and heard from women. That when we're hurt, we are not feeling too sexy, right? So now giving the women a tool to not feel hurt anymore. Holding on to hurt doesn't get you anywhere. So not anywhere you want to be anyway.
Okay, so you would like people to be participate in your studies. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, so it's a 10-minute online survey that's completely anonymous and confidential. It's on fernlifecenter.com and healthyyouradio.com. And it's on the right-hand side of both of those websites on the homepage, and it says Women's Health Sexual Health Study. You just click on that. The statistician that's doing my data collection for me will ask for your email and send you the survey. That way he can tabulate it using codes, numbers, instead of your name. That's what keeps it confidential. And then we can also send you back, he'll send you the results of the data to your email to let you know what my findings were. And so I'm really asking, please, if you've ever had any women you know, yourself, anyone that's ever had low sexual desire at any time in their lives, please lend your voice to this. It really is just 10 minutes, and I know in a busy day that's 10 minutes that you can't spare. But it is a very important study. I really want to get this into the medical literature to change the way women are treated inside of medicine in those 10-minute appointments when they say, I don't have any libido. What can you do for me?
Oh, that would be so helpful. Yeah. Cause it is necessary to look at genders differently because we do, like you said, we do process differently. Women are circular, men are more linear. And, you find that a lot in the medical profession that women kind of get, I've heard this before, kind of, they don't fit into the studies. Because they're not looked at in the way that women. So thank you for your work on that. And again, everybody, you can go to www.fernlifecenter.com or healthyyouradio.com and click on the women's study and help out, Keisha on doing her study so we can get that work out there and she can publish her report. And these things do affect, how physicians work with people, don't they? When they have these studies and people start learning.
It's all, our whole Western model is based on evidence. And so, you know, we have to have it research proven for it to be picked up.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Keisha, for being with us today and sharing your wisdom and about emotional health and sexual health and how that all affects us.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Yes, you're welcome. So I'd like to leave everybody with this thought today. Pay attention to what you're feeling and where in your body is it showing up. And then how might those feelings affect your health and your sexual desire and see what you can do about that. This is Chris Danis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. Next week, I'm excited. I'll be interviewing Jean Houston. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. And I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. Just like our conference has changed many women's lives, this book also touches women to explore how they can explore the divine feminine within and empower themselves. You can purchase the book at www.womenofwisdom.org. And You can go there and find out about our 20th conference. Soon, within a week or two, we'll be having some pre-registration specials for our major people like Jean Houston and Naomi Tutu and Jean Shinoda Bolin. So very excited. We have a great conference coming up February 16th to the 20th. So thank you for tuning in to Voices of Women, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.